Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here at AM 760 WJR and the Inside Outside Guys. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of disappointed that we're going to treat our audience like you generally treat your wife and not take any calls.
Wow. It's all about communication, Chuck.
I had to get that
out. You've been talking to my wife? Have you?
It's like I thought of it, and I said, I got to get this out before I forget it.
That is so true. I can't tell you how many times we're interviewing somebody, and an idea, a question pops in my head, and if I don't write it down right away.
Oh, I thought you meant about you not taking calls from your wife. That is so true.
I will always take calls from my wife. Always. And my kids. That's Chuck and I. We could be in a meeting, and if our wife calls, one of our children calls, you guys got to give us a second. Because those, I used to love that about Dr. Laura when she'd say, I'm my kid's mom. Because that was the most important thing she did.
I agree.
I agree, too.
I agree. If more people had that attitude, there'd be far less problems in the world. How did we get onto that topic?
You started it.
I miss Dr. Laura, by the way.
You started it.
Now that you say that.
Well, she's still on. You just got to.
Oh, she is?
Serious.
Oh,
yeah. You're too cheap to buy that. Hey, and like Chuck said, we're not going to be taking your phone calls today, but you can text us or you can email us. We got quite a few yesterday. We'll talk about some of those during the show here. But I want to remind everybody during the week, if you need anything, go to the InsideOutsideGuys.com, and we will always be here for you.
And the text is guys at ISOSG.com.
Yes.
ISOSG, Inside Outside Guy. ISOSG.com. Sounds like it ought to be put to music. ISOSG.com. There were two guys who had a show. ISOSG.
Stop it.
They tell you everything you wanted to know. ISOSG.
Wow, Chuck. You could write some rapping lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put a little beatbox going
on. Notice I'm on radio where my face cannot be seen.
Let's talk about a subject. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to discuss the article that we wrote in this weekend's Detroit News Homestyle section. Hopefully you had a chance to read that. If you did not, go out and buy a paper like this old guy in front of me does every week.
I love a paper.
But who still buys papers? Very few people still buy
papers. I'll tell you what. You want to see my mother smile? Take her a copy of today's newspaper.
Well, with the article that her son wrote. That'll really make her smile.
She isn't even aware.
She could care less about that part?
She goes right through that section. I go, Mom, did you notice anything about that? Oh, I found a good this or a good that. And I go, no. Go through it again. Look very carefully.
You're making fun of your 97-year-old mother on the air. 98-year-old mother on the air. God bless her.
But if you want to make her smile, take her a copy of today's paper. It's so funny.
Or, I guess Mom would have a real hard time reading the article on a cell phone, wouldn't she?
Actually,
you would have a hard time.
Probably better than yours and mine.
Really?
True story. It's amazing.
My eyes are terrible.
Yeah.
So, InsideOutsideGuys.com, the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook, Detroit News Homestyle section. And one thing that's great about the article, Detroit News Homestyle section, it is not what they call behind the paywall. Anybody gets to read that. If you download the Detroit News app, which is a great app, some articles are behind the paywall. Our boss, Steve Finitieri, worked it out with them because he knew how important this information was to get out to people that it's not. It'll always be free to anybody who wants to read that at Detroit News app or DetroitNews.com.
Good call.
Good stuff.
And it's worth it to look at the paper. That section we are in, when I buy the paper on Friday, I'll go through that whole section, and I got to tell you, it's well done.
I agree.
Good information in that. The gal that puts it together that we work with.
Jody Noni. Yes.
And Megan. Oh, shoot. I can't think of her last name.
Uh-oh, I put you on the spot, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, the other gal. But they do. They do a really good job. It's worthwhile information. If you own a home or live in a home, it's worth having that section in front of you.
I agree. Yeah, I recently met a gentleman that said, every week I print out your articles and I put them in a file. And there's a great commercial. I think it's a Geico commercial, Try Not to Be Your Parents. And I wanted to say to him, sir, you don't have to print out the internet. But I didn't say that.
Luckily, they got to fit probably on one page, right?
Oh, yeah. But that is such a great commercial. You know what commercial I'm talking about? It's funny because I mentioned this before. There's one where the guy goes, he's in a supermarket. He goes, oh, by the way, the guy in the butcher, great. And he goes, the guy goes, you don't have to do that. That's something you and I would do. You and I would do
we would
all day long.
We would.
We are our parents. A
defective cart. No, I'm with you. What Ken and I thought we would do today is talk about a subject that came to be pretty popular. We did, I don't know, two or three articles on it as a series. Things that, how do I say this properly?
Got to get it right.
Things that builders maybe didn't do as well building your house as they could have or should have.
Then or now?
Let's say then.
Okay.
That way we don't slander any now builders. Unfortunately, some of the stuff we're going to talk about still doesn't get done the way we would like it done. But there are always issues of budget,
you know,
in play.
You're right. And it seems like every industry we know of over the last 10 years has made such great leaps and bounds because of the internet. And when we talk about a house, some things that used to happen, some things that don't happen anymore. Go back 30, 40 years ago, every house had block basements. There were not poured walls. They didn't make those panels like they did today.
I was in the industry.
Right, right.
When that, we actually ended up, my moment was when I had what we called brickies. And installed the block foundation.
Electricians are sparkies.
Yeah, and I was building in northern Oakland, Genesee, primarily east, western Lapeer counties, and a lot of union people. And we had brickies say to us, we don't go down the hole anymore, which means they won't go down into a foundation excavation and lay block. So I had to find other people, and I discovered these poured wall systems. Anyway, we'll talk
about that. And now they've really improved on those systems big time. We're going to continue to talk about that because there's a lot of people listening whose dream is to build a house. We're going to help talk about that dream when we get back from break.
You know, when they poured those basement floors, though, they still didn't seal them. They still have moisture coming up through them, and it took you and I how many decades to find people that could actually cure that problem?
Yeah, today's code, you have to put plastic before you do that basement floor. Back in the old day, there's nothing between the dirt and the concrete, so the moisture just comes straight up and can literally affect the health of the house.
Big time.
Unless you get that basement floor coated with a concrete coating from Comer and Cross Concrete Coatings.
Find professional contractors you can trust at InsideOutsideGuys.com. Now, once again, here are Ken Calverley and Chuck Bridenstine.
Good morning. We appreciate you being with us between 10 and noon today. I want to remind you that during the week, we're here for you at InsideOutsideGuys.com and that we cannot take calls today. There's a problem at world headquarters with the infrastructure. The power's down, right?
Right. So you're my favorite subject is our families, and this is not a show about families. So our second favorite subject is housing and building, and that's what we're doing. So we're spending this time with you today talking about housing and housing that's being built from the ground up and mistakes that can be made in that process that unfortunately could affect homeowners, you know, for years to come.
Yeah.
We went to break talking about the floor coatings. We mentioned Comer and Cross. Chuck, if I was building a new house today, there's no doubt in my mind that it would be done as soon as that basement floor went in. I would put that kind of product in.
It's funny you say that because I lived in a time when we saw the evolution of a lot of new products because we were going to lose all of our petroleum-based energy products, right, by the mid-80s, and we had to build more energy-efficient homes because
the world was coming to an end.
The world was coming to an end. We were going into a global cooling period. And this is all true. You can look it up. Anyway, one thing I learned with wood foundations, we had owners demand that we put in a wood foundation, right?
A wood foundation.
Yeah. And it was a new thing, and I remember going to Detroit. A guy named Warren Koch had bought the old Courier Lumber Company and converted it into a lumber treatment center, and he was designing and selling wood foundation systems.
Okay.
But the one thing I learned from him was this. If you surround that basement or crawl space with a drainage layer, then you can eliminate all the smells we normally associate with basements, the water in basements, you name it. So it's interesting that you kind of gave us a segue into that because we should go from the ground up with our topics, right?
You're right. Now, a drainage layer for a wood basement is important. It has to be there, right? It has to be there.
It should be there for any basement.
And, and that's where I was going with that. Yeah. And for people who don't know what a drainage layer is, it's, you know, a native soil here in Southeast Michigan, for the most part, 90% of it is clay. You may every once in a while find a house that has sand or a loamy soil, but it's clay. And anyone that's tried to, heck, they make cups out of clay. They made cups out of clay before they can kill them because they hold water.
They'll line ponds with clay.
Right, right.
To hold water.
You don't want that next to your house because if, let's say you have, every house has pea pebbles, should have pea pebbles surrounding their drain tile at the very bottom of the house, right outside of your basement floor. Now, if you got clay between that tile and the outside, water's not going to be able to drain down there like it should. And if your block wall is very porous, it's going to make its way through your basement wall. If you have drainable soil like Chuck's talking about, which is basically a clean 21AA, so rocks the size of nickels and quarters, all the way around your basement, when that water goes up against your basement, it's going to go straight down that drain tile, into the sump pump, out away from your foundation. It might seem kind of redundant to bring it down and send it out, but that is the right way to do it.
Yeah, and a couple caveats that I attach to that. One, we would also continue the labor, it'd be, or the layer, it would be continuous down the sidewalls and under the floor.
Right.
So I used to over-excavate my foundation holes. I would dig them a little deeper, and we'd put 8 to 12 inches of pea gravel on the entire bottom of that floor.
That wasn't cheap.
No, it wasn't, and it's a hard sell to some owners. Let's say it's an, let's say back then it was an extra $2,000. It'd be more today. But to go to the homeowner and say, I want to do this, and it's going to cost you this much money, there's no brag factor in that. They can't show that to anybody. There's, you know, so if they're stretched, if their budget is already stretched, it's one thing if they can show you the hot tub in the master suite, you know.
Right, right, right.
Or the beautiful arched top windows, you know, in the great room. But they can't take anybody and show them the stones under their basement floor, you know.
And you know what? Not even arguably, that's more important than the other things you just talked about when it comes to the health of the home.
And it wasn't an easy sell because of that. And then what we would do, clay will invite water into the system, like you talked about, into the basement. If it's up against the wall. So we would put this 10A stone or pea gravel or sand up against the wall all the way to the top, except the last about 4 to 6 inches where we would put a clay-containing soil. And the reason we did that was to put a drainage cap on top. We didn't want to invite water down along the basement wall. We wanted it to drain away from the house.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. That, you know, it's like, when the water hits, the rain hits, it hits the clay and goes away. What doesn't go away flows freely down to the drain tile at the bottom of the basement wall, goes in a sump pump, then gets sent away from the house. Homeowners don't know that. I mean, we've often said this, ignorance isn't a bad thing. It just means that you don't know.
Exactly.
And that's what we're here for. We're trying to teach people stuff like that because the problem is, we said it a couple of times a weekend, when you all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So you call someone in, Chuck. I remember years ago, a customer had a foundation issue, and they'd called three different companies in that gave them, and I'm talking 15 years ago, gave them big prices to replace, to fix their basement wall. And the way they knew it was shifting is because there was a big step crack, probably, I'm not kidding, 12 feet down going up, you know, up to the top. And a homeowner called me in there, and I dug down to see if I could find. You know what I found? I found a tree root that made its way between the brick and the brick ledge, literally 2 inches thick, that pushed in. There was nothing wrong with that homeowner's foundation.
Yeah.
And there we go. If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, they all went in and said, okay, we can fix this. But I literally saved that homeowner $15,000 and a lot of headache because it didn't need to be done.
Yeah.
So before you just take someone's word for it, do your own inspection. Look, you can send us pictures. If you have an issue, if you have a step crack, say, do you guys have any idea what this is? We'll say, you know, do this, do that, get back with us.
But now, can they attach pictures to the original email?
Not the original email, they can. But when we respond to them, they can. So when you send your email, you send it to theinsideoutsideguys.com. Chuck and I both answer emails. Listen, all the time. I mean, I get home from my job during the day. I come home and I sit in the patio and I answer emails, and I know you do the exact same thing. So at that point, you'll get our individual emails, and then you can send us back pictures, and we'll help at that point.
Yeah, I respect that. I agree with it. So if you are one of those people Ken alluded to earlier that's anticipating building a new home, it'll cost a few thousand dollars to surround your basement with a drainage layer, but we cannot overemphasize how important that is. Here's something, again, it's like you and I never have enough time, right? I could walk someone down to one of my wood foundations, and I could make them breathe through their nose and discover they did not smell basement smell,
right?
Basement air. It's so funny because I can still see husbands and wives looking at each other like, and they'd be sniffing like dogs. And I say, what don't you smell? It doesn't smell like a basement, but you're in a basement. Yeah, but it doesn't smell like a basement. And it was so cool. And it wasn't the wood foundation. It was the drainage layer. We could do it with any foundation.
And let's be clear. A good basement should not smell like a basement.
Good point.
We'll continue this discussion as we get back from break. We get a lot of questions for people that need basically a handyman service. And it's hard. We tell people, if you can get on a handyman's list, that's all you want to do is get on their list. We have a great team partner that has a handyman division that can help out with their main trade, right, buddy?
Exactly. Not only are they professional painters, but they are professional handy people with their handyman division. And, of course, you and I know we're talking about MacFarland Painting.
You have housing questions? The Inside Outside guys on WJR have the answers. Here are Ken and Chuck.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust. If you didn't know it, we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday editions as well. You can find them at theinsideoutsideguys.com or theinsideoutsideguys on Facebook. If you miss our show during the week, you can always pick those shows up there. I know they're also, on all the other ways to Spotify. I know we're out there. I've heard people say they've heard us on those things before in the past.
So. I strongly advise people to start enjoying the Facebook page. They're not only good information on it, but you do a great job of putting comedic things on and the photographs. It's the old thing about a picture being worth a thousand words. There's stuff you put on there, and I look at it and I look at it and I look at it again and just shake my head. And I'm an old guy. I've seen a lot, and I still see really cool stuff on the Facebook page that I go, this is awesome.
Have you ever seen a larger mushroom in your life?
I don't think I have. I told my wife about that last night. That is just beyond the pale. And the fact that it's edible.
Oh, it's delicious. Not only edible, but they are really good.
It was chicken what?
Chicken of the woods.
Chicken of the woods. I got chicken.
They are delicious.
So chicken of the sea, chicken of the woods.
Yep, and a lot of people know those. Actually, in that picture, there's four or five different kind of edible mushrooms that you can find in the woods right now. There are great Facebook pages, and a lot of the Facebook page, one of them I belong to is called Michigan Wild Edibles. All about this stuff. You know, there's wild asparagus out in the woods. There's so many things, if you know what to look for, that you can stay alive when you're out in the woods. It's just fun.
That.
I mean, I am truly the outside guy. You know me. I would rather be outside. I tell people, if you want to find me in October or November, walk out into the woods and look up at a tree. Because that's what I'll be.
I wasn't in the trees, except when I was a teenager, looking down on lovers in the woods. But having said that, I'm just like you in that regard. And the thing that kept me out of the woods, I told you yesterday, reminded you, for a couple decades, was
poison ivy.
Yeah, poison ivy and sumac. You know, it just scared the heck out of me.
Well, you weren't there last Sunday when we were at Kearns Brothers. You called in because you were out at another charity event for Wounded
veterans,
veterans, yep. But towards the end of the show, Mark Kramer from Kearns Brothers had mentioned that he's involved with a charity called A Kid Again. And if they raise their $40,000 mark, and he said to me, Mark Kramer, who is a giant Buckeye fan, said he would actually put on a Michigan uniform.
I know, I thought that was cool.
And then he challenged me. that they read that, would I put on an Ohio State jersey for the game? And my response was, I'd rather wear a vest of poison ivy than put on an Ohio State jersey. But for the kids, I would be happy
in
to.
In a heartbeat.
Happy to. So we're going to talk about that more as time goes by. And
hopefully Mark will keep us updated.
Mark will keep us updated.
Okay.
It's a great charity, and it's for kids. So
we're talking about things that arguably are good specifications for your home, and a lot of homes were built without them. We kind of talked about drainage layers around foundation systems, basements, and crawl spaces. One of the things that wood foundations allowed us to do very easily, because they are framed like a wood wall, was insulate in that wood cavity. And that was another really big deal. You could throw your wiring, your plumbing, your insulation in, and throw drywall on the basement walls the minute you moved in.
Sure.
Since then, the energy codes have demanded that we start to insulate every basement.
I hate energy codes. I'll just put it right now. I hate energy
They codes. Have no place in the code. Those codes are supposed to be for health, safety, welfare.
And none of these are that. None of these issues are
those energy issues. Conservation in your own home, spending more money to do it, is not a health and welfare issue.
If I don't want
safety issue.
If I'd rather pay for gas and electricity than pay for insulation in my house.
It should be your choice.
It should be my choice, exactly.
I'll tell you, when we were fighting those energy codes, we've had energy codes for decades, so long before the early 90s when they really started to take a foothold. And again, it was that global cooling thing I was talking about. Boy, it really
gone,
was.
That's gone a real 180, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. I just shake my head. Anyway, Michigan fought them because we realized it's the old thing about you can't just do one thing in a building that is a system of things.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right, make perfect
just
sense.
Adding
systems
more insulation.
Systems work together.
Yeah, yes. Can cause problems, and we knew that. So it's been interesting to see. I wrote a lot of articles back then on that issue to see the evolution of that whole concept. You know, and we saw states that readily adopted those rigid insulation standards and, you know, puffed their chests out, and then made their builders do this. And then 5 years later, their builders were getting sued. Because of the consequences of not addressing the system.
How many times have we heard that stuff? Oh, my goodness. Remember the old Duke Energy where they made, I think it's out west, they made him put all these the windmills. What's the other word for windmill here? I'm thinking about
that. Oh, yeah, the wind turbine.
Turbines, thank you. They made him put wind turbines. Then they started killing migratory birds and eagles, and then they fined. The government fined the company for killing those birds, even though they made him mandate put those things in. It's crazy.
I told you the first time I saw a windmill farm, we had crossed the mountains from San Diego on the motorcycles, and here's this huge windmill farm in a valley, which is where the winds right, are generated, so it's a great place to build one. But none of the blades were spinning. And this was a long time, and I was a long time ago, and I was just dumbfounded. I'm going, well, that doesn't make any sense. And later on, in one of the towns we were in that night, I asked some people in the restaurant we were in about that, and they go, oh, those are shut down this time of year because of the bird migrations. They shut them down twice or three times. And I go, are you serious? Well, yeah, otherwise they kill the birds. I go, well, they don't generate electricity when they're spinning, do they? Well, no, we pay a higher rate then. It's like, oh, my gosh.
People in California are happy to do it, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they were thrilled to death.
Well, I think that every time I go into Thumbchuck, you drive M15, you drive 24, you see so many wind turbines that aren't spinning.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting, but let's stick with basements.
All right, so you and I are big fans of properly placed insulation,
big
thermal
fans.
Insulation.
Was that a pun?
Oh, no, I'm not smart enough to do that. But we are. And if we were building ourselves houses, new houses today, we would take additional steps to ensure that we could heat that with a minimum of energy. And we do that because we're greedy and cheap, not because we're trying to save the world. Is that a fair assessment?
Chuck, you've never been so right. You've never been so right.
I mean, really. And you've said it before. You and I have said it for 15 years. You're prepaying your energy bills by adding good, intelligent insulation.
Yes. 100% agree with you. That's why we love the ICFs, the insulated concrete forms. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because during this last building boom, when people could not find carpenters, we were referring people to this product. And I tell you what, I was going to build a nice size house with that product. And my whole theory was every bit of that living space from the ceiling all the way down was going to have insulation around it. Because I knew if I did that, I'd probably be able to heat the house with a match because that stuff works so well.
They found, and I won't go into the whole shtick, but a program run by the Canadian government back when the global cooling thing was on us, they found they could heat houses with the incandescent light bulbs and the people living in them.
Right, yeah.
They could insulate them. And that was back then.
Yeah. In Canada.
That was Canada, sorry. That was 40 years ago-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, I can't believe it. So,
you mentioned something earlier. Go ahead.
Well, just to say with crawl spaces. So yes. Crawl spaces are the poor stepchild of basements.
That's a good way to put it.
They've been abused. The code still allows us to put active, cheap, aluminum-screened vents in the wall. And people mistakenly think that they have to do that, and they put them in. Right? They don't insulate them. They don't put footing tiles or drain tiles around them. They don't condition the space. And they don't put sumps or sump crocks in them for all of the above same reasons. So we see crawl spaces as really being abused in that regard.
And, you talk about the basement smell. How many times have you gone into a room that has a crawl space underneath it and smelled the basement smell even though you're in the main floor?
I know. People don't think about that.
They don't think about it. And they weren't built right in the first place. And a lot of them still aren't. And we'll continue this discussion once you get back from this break.
Actually, there's a lot of great windows out there today. You and I have seen the evolution of glass and frame product and manufacturing to the point where there's a lot of good windows. But if you don't install it properly.
That's the whole thing. If you don't install a window properly, even the best window will perform nowhere near what it's supposed to. But we have a great company located in Pontiac for windows that their main windows is built in the great white north of Canada, and they withstand those temperatures. They're beautiful windows. So the next time you need a window or a door, we want you to contact Jeff Weaver and Clarkson Window and Door.
Here for you today and every day. This is the Inside Outside Guys on WJR. Here are Chuck and Ken.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. I want to remind you the phone lines are down at the Fisher Building, so we won't be taking calls today. We will be taking texts at isosg.com, just like the one I just got from my beautiful middle child. Here's the text, Ken. You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
The mushroom on your page, 3 exclamation points. Huge!
And I've got 6 bags of that in my freezer at home right now.
I notice I have none, so.
If you want some, let me go get some of those. I got a special mushroom for
you. Yeah, I imagine. Are they easy to light?
Come on, what are you talking about? You grew up in the 60s. Obviously, you didn't partake in the 60s.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness.
It is so funny how that plays out. If we ever, we ever fill in for Paul W. or something, we can talk about some of that stuff.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Paul wouldn't like it too much. That'd be fun.
He'll be glad to come back home from vacation.
Yeah, right.
Having said that, crawl spaces should be treated like short basements. They should be fully insulated. The air in them should be conditioned. They should be waterproofed. They should have drainage systems built into and around them. Am I missing anything?
Yeah, explaining what conditioned air means.
Conditioned air, literally, that's what your mechanical system in your house does. It conditions the air. In the wintertime, it might heat it and add humidity to it. In the summertime, it will dehumidify it and cool it, so it's conditioning the air. And we believe, no one ever hesitates to have conditioned air in their basement. No one ever has said to me, I don't want to condition the air in the basement.
You're right.
Nobody, it's assumed. We should do the same thing in crawl spaces.
And here's one of the reasons why. If you've ever been out of power or haven't had air conditioning, and you walk down in your basement, hopefully your basement at this point isn't finished, and you look at your pipes, they sweat like crazy. The condensation, that's not water coming out of the inside of the pipes. That's condensation, and that's sweating. Okay?
That's a good, I never thought of that.
So if you had those issues underneath, and you don't have to have power off for this to happen. If you have those cool pipes running into your crawl space for any reason, or any pipes, and that crawl space is extremely hot, they're dripping water. If that crawl space has no air movement, has no place, you're getting mold and you're getting mildews. Once again, it has no place to go, so it goes up through the deck of the basement, first of all, or of the floor, hurts that deck. I mean, it'll rot it out from underneath. So what'll happen is, over time, you'll start noticing that floor flex more, and then it'll go through, and it will affect you and your kids' health. There's just no two ways about it.
We just got an email this week from a woman. I want to say she's in Ohio, and I might have this wrong, but it's a moot point because it's the same climate. And she discovered in her crawl space that there's a lot of mold in the wood frame, and it's destroying the wood. And she needed, to get we didn't ask how she discovered it. We didn't.
Just happy she did.
Happy she did. Because literally at some point, you could step right through your floor.
Yes.
The mold will eat the wood. The wood is a food source.
I put a post out a few weeks ago of a brick paver that I had found, that I peeled back the piece of mold that was on top of it, and on the backside of the mold was concrete from the brick paver. So if it's going to literally eat concrete, remove concrete, it's not going to have any problem with a wood floor.
Yeah.
And the condition thing that we're talking about, most people don't think, okay, close it off, shut the vents, and condition that air. Because they're thinking, well, do I really want to waste? Why? I don't live down there. I shouldn't have to condition that air. Well, like I just said, that air comes up. You will be breathing that air either way, and if you condition that air, you will be healthier. Now, we have a lot of team partners at theinsideoutsideguys.com that you can find to help you out with these things. But what we also have, for the people that have a crawl space that is about 12 inches deep, that there's no way that they could get somebody down there, we have a company and a good friend named Blessed Assurance Home Inspections and Terry Russell. Now, Terry Russell has done this for many of our listeners. Well, he'll go out with what's called a crawl space bot. And that thing has a beautiful camera on it. It is a little robot like you see the kids play with in the street.
It ought to just be Crawlbot.
Crawlbot, there you go.
I like Crawlbot.
And he can see everything back there. And I can tell you right now, he's seen stuff back there that you could not even imagine.
You don't want to know. It's right below the floor when you're sleeping.
You're right.
In your comfy bed.
You don't. But that thing can look up. It can see underneath the deck and see if there's mold down there. And at that point, the homeowner's got, if they can't do it themselves, they've got a bill. There's people that can get down there, but it's going to cost.
I was just thinking, at the very least, if someone dragged in 6 mil, 8 mil plastic to cover the floor, and that's all they did, didn't even tape it to the sidewalls, just covered the entire floor, you would benefit immensely.
90%. If you got it all the way around the edges, you would take 90% of that humidity out of that crawl space.
Yeah.
It's very important. And I've been in those crawl
spaces. And a bunch out of your house.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I've been in those crawl spaces. They're not easy. But like we were saying earlier, it was the norm to build those crawl spaces like that for decades. Now they're not. Now when they do a crawl space, there are codes that have to be done for this stuff.
I'm a bit of a claustrophobe.
I know you are. And you're heights, afraid of heights.
And you know what? I'm really not. You always say that.
Stop it! What do you mean?
I'm truly not.
I don't believe you. I'm sorry, but I'm calling BS.
I know.
On this one.
I would admit it if I was, but Chuck. I am claustrophobic. Yeah, just because I didn't want to go in the top of the tower in Vegas, you think? But anyway, but I'm really not.
Okay.
I love height
to a point.
To a point. Yeah. Anyway, I was in several of those. When we used to remodel. For people, and you do what you got to do. I was young and dumb, and
absolutely,
and I had young and dumbs working for me, and we would go in those spaces and do what we had to do. But you've seen enough of them. I've seen enough of them. Listen to us and take our advice is the best. We did have a question here. If I'm going to insulate my crawl space, is it okay to just have them spray foam on the whole thing? Or do I have to use a rigid foam product and glue it to the walls?
Is it okay? Yes. Anything's okay. Anything helps.
I love it.
But yeah. If I'm going to do it, you know, here's the thing. Nothing says you have to do this stuff all at once. Go buy one piece of rigid foam a week or a month and glue it on as you can. Eventually, over a year's time, you'll have it all taken care of.
Wow.
But there is no doubt that this has to be done to crawl spaces and basements. Chuck, I put 2 inches of rigid foam against a basement that I built years ago, and it was one of the best things
I did. It's amazing.
It's amazing how nice it was down there.
It truly is amazing. And it's interesting because what deteriorates foam is UV rays. If you put any foam in your crawl, the sun's never going to get to it. So you don't have to worry about it deteriorating. Maybe 30 years ago, because there were some odd mixes and odd materials out there, we did see it disappearing foam, the disappearing foam.
Oh, goodness.
Or the foam on the dashboards that were used in cars.
Oh, you're not kidding.
That would turn to powder.
You're right.
But that was mostly UV exposure.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Yep. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Chuck, I had a conversation with someone this week who got a little bit offended on the job site. And I had to remind him what kind of trade he was in. We come back. Let's talk about that a little bit, okay? We got a great show, another hour planned of the Inside Outside Guys coming up. And, Chuck, we got an email this week of somebody who wanted to get a new bathroom, and they wanted it done quick. Guess what I referred to them, buddy?
It had to be Bath Planet because I hope they wanted quick and beautiful and functional and easily maintained.
Yeah, that's Bath Planet.
Welcome to the Inside Outside Guys on News Talk 760 WJR. From the roof to the basement, from the street to the back fence, they've got you covered. Here are Chuck Bridenstine and Ken Calverley.
Welcome back, everybody. Want to remind you that our topic today, which we know we're not going to get through, is things that should have been done better to your house when it was built. How's that?
Is that our topic?
So well, you're we telling don't me
I can't talk
builders.
About what I said I want to talk about here a minute ago?
No, actually, I like what you're... It's one of the rare times I actually like your idea.
Thanks, bud. It's going to be a long day.
You used a multisyllabic word, etiquette. It shocked me. I wondered if your wife had helped you.
She taught me. Yeah, we went over it yesterday, and then she made sure I knew how to pronounce it.
Say it again.
Edit three syllables. Say it slow. Yeah, etiquette. Yeah. Job site etiquette, which on the construction crews, especially when you're building a house, there are none. When it comes to contractor to contractor, come on.
I got to say that's changed with the good contractors.
In today's society, I think it really does. But I'm going to go back to when I was in the industry, and I'll tell you why I did this. Because the other day I was on a job site, and you know, you and I are the same way. When we're on job sites, Chuck and I are going to try to encourage people, everybody. We want to lift people up. And I said to this young man, how's it going? And all I heard was, great, if he didn't do this, or if he didn't say that, or he didn't. And I took him to the side and said, look, I got to tell you something.
You haven't told me this. This is interesting.
Well, I said, when I was on the cruise, There were no boundaries. They would say whatever they want.
Oh, I agree.
I've told a story. My wife and I were in my early 20s, and my wife brought me up lunch, and that was the last time my wife showed up to a job site. At that point, I told her, if I'm at a job site with other men, you cannot show up, period. Because they said stuff about my wife that I would not, that most people, I'd punch
in the face.
You
don't even want to think what they said.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was nothing bad, because I've got a pretty wife. But here was my point to this young man. If I would have taken that stuff personally, and I would have reacted to any of the hundreds of times that happened to me when I was going through my apprenticeship or learning this trade, I would not be where I am today.
No.
There's no two ways about that. I would not be where I am today.
So you were somewhat bullied coming in?
Oh, gosh, Chuck, I used to go home crying every day, go home in a fetal position.
I mean, we all were.
We all were. No,
I don't care if it was a team you joined or a construction crew. Here's one of the things I remember as starting to change the dynamic of good crews on job sites. And it wasn't my crew. But there was it was in Birmingham, Michigan. It was a remodel job. And one of the framing crew members shows up with a t-shirt that says Bush sucks back when he was president.
Okay.
And I couldn't even tell you which Bush it was. But here's what I remember. I remember the owner telling me, the construction company owner telling me this happened. He showed up on the job site and the owner of the house came out and said, I don't want that guy on my site anymore. This is my house. I'm a conservative. I voted for Bush. And it was an interesting dynamic to consider. After that, we wrote etiquette protocols and gave them to builders.
Policies and procedures.
Yeah, policies and procedures. And it was, you can't wear shirts with any political messages on them. You can advertise the company you work for only or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know what? If you can't do that, too bad. I mean,
you're going to get more pushback today on that kind of stuff than you would have back then.
Yeah, vehicles. You'd have, you know, someone urinating on someone's politics or their other, right?
So
details.
True.
You'd
so
have true. Bull's testicles hanging from the Class A receiver on the back of the truck. All kinds of stuff that it never occurs. You'd have guys with their toolboxes, and they'd have a decal of a partially naked woman, you know, like you saw in the auto shops for all those decades.
Right.
And we banned all of that very specifically. You have to give anecdotal evidence in policy and procedure. So if you ban swearing, you have to say, including but not limited to, the following words. And you put it right in there and you share it with your crew.
Sure. Yeah. Well, then you can back it up. You have it in writing. The policy is there. But the bullying part, I do probably believe it's got to be better on the job site today. But I'm going to tell anybody out there, you're working with a bunch of men. And you and I talk about this, where women will figure it out more, and they'll talk about it, and they'll get through it. Men will say, you know, stick their finger up and say, deal with it.
Exactly.
And guess what? You have to deal with it.
If you wanted that job, you did.
You have to keep coming to that job. You have to keep working under that guy. But it's only temporary. This is all only temporary. Because back then, you think I ever thought one day I'm going to be the boss?
Yeah.
No. But I tell you what I don't do. I have never treated one of my employees like that.
No, and I wouldn't either, in all honesty. I know this is easy. You know, people go, yeah, you're sitting behind the radio. You can say that. But I didn't believe in bullying. I do. I was just never of that ilk.
Well, you don't believe in being mean. That's it there. You don't want to be mean to anybody.
I didn't.
And I'm the same way.
Even when I was more aggressive as a youth, I still wasn't that way. I was more likely to go after the top dog.
Right.
You know?
Well, here's what I could have done when that young man came to me and told me this stuff. I could have done one of two things. I could have said, hey, look it. You know, I can't say what I would have said.
I was just thinking.
You know, put your big boy pants on, suck it up. It's going to happen. Do you want this job or not? Or I could have taken to the side, trying to tell him some of the experience I have and try to encourage him in this industry, because I don't want him leaving the industry. He's a great worker.
Yeah.
He's a good worker. And in the trades today, you get a chance to make it to the top faster than you ever did. So this is our advice to anybody listening, thinking of being in the trades. Suck it up, buttercup. Fair to say?
No.
Stay in this trade.
That was succinct and accurate.
Chuck and I keep talking about air and making sure you're breathing healthy air in your home. You want to make sure you're breathing healthy air. You want to stop seeing those dust particles and the sunbeam coming through your window. We want you to call Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning. Get your vents cleaned, sanitized, and they also do great insulation work as well. Once again, Amnesty, air duct cleaning and installation. Welcome back to the Inside Outside Guys. Happy to be here for you on this kind of dreary Sunday morning.
Oh, my gosh, Eeyore.
You know what, though? You're right. I apologize, Chuck. I have to remember every time I'm with you, it's a dreary Sunday morning. I'm sorry. I shouldn't make a big deal out of it.
Boy, you took away all my, I was going to get into God's cleansing water and all that stuff. But you got me. You disarmed me.
That's not easy to do. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. I just want to remind everybody, if you need anything during the week, if you hear something on this show that you like, you name it. You don't have to stop your car. You don't have to be dangerous. You don't have to call us right now. Go back to your place. Whenever you stop, look up theinsideoutsideguys.com, go to Ask a Question, and the guys will get back to you with a question every time. We are probably averaging, 100 emails a week and over 300 unique visitors a day to theinsideoutsideguys.com, and that's just another way that we are here for you during the week, whenever you need us, right, bud?
Wow. You did good.
Okay, you can just stay there. I got the rest of it.
I know.
Sorry,
take it.
Just relax.
And here's Kenny.
That was good. So let's talk about our article. The article in the Detroit News Homestyle section.
Jeez, we almost went the weekend without talking about
that.
I
know we did.
What's the matter with us?
Hey, it's a great article. Hopefully everyone has a chance to read those every week. They are articles that we are just trying to make you. I mean, it's the whole reason we started the show, trying to make homeowners more familiar with this process. Is that fair to say?
Well stated.
Well stated.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so limited. You know, they only give us, I think, 700 words or something, whatever that is. But it allows us at least once a week to take a particular topic and expand on it more than we can generally do during the show.
And I think it's a great topic this weekend, Chuck. Oh. I told you just recently I had a job site I went to where the homeowner had bought a bunch of tile they wanted to put on top of this new concrete. And I'm like, why did you buy the tile? Because we got a great deal on it.
This
will not work here. I'm sorry. And they were very disappointed that I said that. But that's a problem. People will be walking through a big box store or whatever it may be, and they see this great deal on flooring. So they buy it all up. They take it home. They put it in the garage. And then they start making phone calls to flooring companies asking if they'll install the flooring that they just bought. And they don't realize that no one's going to do that. Anyone that does do that is not going to be associated, in my opinion, Chuck, with a trustworthy, committed organization. You might be able to find two guys in a rusty truck to throw it in for you, but there's no warranties from that point.
Yeah, I guess that'd be my bigger concern. First of all, you're right. You're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody good to do that in this economy.
Right.
You might find some very trustworthy, talented people, but the likelihood that if something goes wrong down the road that they're going to come back... Well, in the article, one of the things, we kind of play scenarios, right, like that?
Yes.
What if Ken goes out there and installs that tile? And he does everything like he always would on any job, and then a month later, a week later, a year later, the tiles start to crack. The owner calls you, and your response is what? I didn't buy that tile. It's
right.
The tile.
Right.
It ain't me, babe.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And then the owner's... got a conundrum, so they call the people they bought the tile from. They go, well, you bought that on sale. It was as is. If you want, you can call corporate in Bangkok or whatever. You know, so it puts the owner in a position where they're not going to get a resolution. Bottom line.
Years ago, my wife and I bought a minivan. I won't say yet. We haven't bought this branded car yet since, but we bought it from a dealership down in Southern Oakland County, and then we moved to Northern Oakland County. And when it needed service, we took it to the dealership in Northern Oakland County. So when the transmission went with like 20,000 miles on it, my wife would have all the kids in the car, and she'd go to take off at a light, and it would just stand still. So that happened too many times. We took it in. They go, well, hold on. You bought it from us, but you took it to them. It's not our responsibility anymore.
Exactly.
And they just passed the buck back and forth.
Another set of hands around it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know.
Live and learn.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And it is true. So we're just trying to make people clear that when you're getting a project done at your house, you have to look at the big picture, like Chuck just said. If you're getting tile put out in your living room, or excuse me, your kitchen or your bathroom, that's a big job. That's a job where people wait years to have that happen. I mean, that's a budget. That digs into your budget. So down the road, you don't want to have to go 3 years later, I might have to do this again. And Chuck's scenario was right, because you're not going to find anybody at that point going, yeah, it's my fault, I'll take care of it. You just won't. Now, if you went to a company like Atlas Home Improvement and you said, I want tile put here, okay. Here's your price for labor, material. We'll take care of it. 2 years down the line, an obvious workmanship issue comes up. We know that Atlas Home Improvement is going to go take care of that. And that might not be part of the warranty, but people have to consider they're going to take care of it because they want to keep their customers happy. Our companies do that all the time. I can name so many of our team partners that I know that well after the warranty time period is up, they go back and they take care of issues for customers, because most of those issues, Chuck, aren't giant issues.
No, and they want you to be happy because you are their primary source of referrals. So it just makes sense. It's part of the whole value trade-off, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Plus, something people don't consider. If I'm in the business of installing water heaters, okay, I'm Waterwork Plumbing, and I buy from X water heater company, and I put in 10 of their units, and I end up servicing 8 of them. I ain't buying from X water heater company anymore. I learned my lesson.
That's a great point.
I'm going to find a water heater company that makes great water heaters that don't fail, that I don't have to service.
That's a great point. No, you're absolutely. I mean, look at all the flooring that we talked about.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell a story years ago when Perga was brand new. I went out and had my kitchen floor done in Perga. And I don't know how much longer it was later, but, of course, right under where the dishwasher was.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. It started to bubble and it started to separate and everything else. And what the store did for me, I was happy. They wound up giving me the material. They didn't install a new one, but they at least gave me more material for the But it was the same stuff.
Yeah.
So I knew if I did it that way, the same thing was going to happen again.
Yep.
So I had, at that point, a friend of mine who was a professional installer came in and did it right. Didn't have any issues, but live and learn.
Right in your milieu, if you will.
My what?
Somebody calls you and wants you, your area of expertise, calls you and wants you to brick their house up. And they tell you they're going to use a sandstone brick. You know, you're going to say, got to tell you.
You don't want to do that. Yeah. You don't want to do it. Take the professional's opinion. I mean, Chuck, if it comes to building certain things in a house, I mean, that's why we are here. Take our opinion. That's why email is here. Remember we had an email from a listener a couple years ago that daughter was building a house, I believe, on Martha's Vineyards. And the builder wanted to put tar paper on the house. And that's how he did it. That's how he always did it. His house wrap's going to be tar paper. And if you don't like it, too bad. Let's talk about that when we get back.
Yeah, that's a great, good job. Your memory, man. Wow. Yeah,
I know. I can remember stuff from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but not yesterday.
Do you remember being at a free roof giveaway for a really needy woman here about 8 weeks ago? Do you remember that lady? She really needed help.
I do. I do remember that. That was a great, great day. And I believe we're going to be another one of those here in early to mid-October. And, of course, what you're referencing is Victor's rooftop giveaway. Victor's a great guy. He knows how blessed he is. He knows how many roofs he does, feeds all these families in his business. But what he also knows that is he has to give back. And for every 100 roofs he sells, he gives one to a needy homeowner. That's why we promote, we love. We'll tell you, if you need a new roof, you want to call Victor's Roofing.
The Inside Outside Guys, appreciate you being with us. A reminder, the phones have not been working this weekend at World Headquarters. The power is out, and they're on standby power just doing the broadcast. Like anybody care. Guys at ISOSG.com, you can get hold of us if you need to. Guys at ISOSG.com, we've been kind of talking about things that builders do. Again, these are the bad builders, right? The uninformed builders may do improperly when they build your house.
Right, right, right.
And you had mentioned foundations that are out of square. And as a bricklayer, you'd notice that.
Yeah. And the more elevations that we get, the more offsets that we get in house, the more unsquare they are. I mean, the perfect foundation for a house is, let's say, 18 by 35 square as a basement. That's pretty darn easy to keep square if you know what you're doing, if it's a perfect square. But the houses that they're building now aren't like that. You'll have a base house, but then you have an addition off the back that's on a crawl space. You'll have a bump out for a front porch. You may have a chimney foundation. And what happens is when something's not square and you start to build on top of that structure, as a drywaller, as a brick mason, you find out really fast.
Hardwood floor installer, tile installer.
Keep going, I know. Carpeting. Carpeting's easy.
Carpeting, no one's going to notice. If you have a bold geometric pattern in your carpet.
You're right.
That'll be noticed.
You're right. Yeah, it will be. You're right, absolutely. Because you'll have one large, let's say there's squares in it. You'll have a big large at one end and a little sliver at another.
Sliver of that original square at the other end.
And one thing, unfortunately, that happens is when you, because bricklayers, people know, if you're getting your houses bricked up, bricklayers get paid by the production crews. They get paid by the thousand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they get paid by the thousand. So let's say it's a big house like I just spoke about with a whole bunch of offsets and a whole bunch of bump outs. These guys lay the first course out, and they find out that on one end of the house, they've got plenty of room to set their brick down.
But what do they set them on?
On the concrete footing, which is called a brick ledge. But you go to the other side of the house, it's so out of square, only 2 inches of it sit on top of the brick ledge.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be honest with you. A brick mason is not going to call the builder up and say, hey, listen, you need to come fix this foundation. First of all, you really can't.
Not sure how you would.
They want to get the brick in and out. So they will lay it 2 inches off of that foundation, put some mortar underneath that. Now, if they're smart, the minute they get past the brick ledge onto wood and backing, they'll put what's called brick ties in there to help hold it against the house. But what happens over time is that brick will work its way out, and you'll start getting a step crack on your house. And
yeah.
So they call it foundation.
Well, frost can get below that overhanging brick.
Right. Right. And these are things that when you, and Chuck says it perfectly. Chuck, when you used to build houses, you would have a piece of paper there, and you would ask people, if you have an issue, put it right. It's before internet. They couldn't text you or anything else. If you have any questions, put it right here. When I show up the next morning, I'll address those questions. And I hope you had a lot of questions, because that's great communication.
Yeah.
But a homeowner's not going to go, hey, Chuck, I noticed a brick slipping over on that one side. So and so.
Hopefully they didn't notice.
Hopefully they didn't notice. Because at that point, bricklayers want to get in. They want to get out. They want to lay those 20,000 brick up, and they want to get out.
So. Yeah. I mean, that happens. Right. That's one of those issues that, gosh, it'd be interesting to know the things we've talked about during the show today, which are the most common, if we could somehow. But
that is, you know, I tell you what, I saw it all the time.
I don't doubt it. I've been so amazed at how out of plumb, out of square, out of level, out of true, certain people will build. That's always been one of those things where I looked at it and went, you got to be kidding me.
I know.
Because I think I built pole barns that were perfectly square. Sorry. Well,
no, we know, because here's the thing. We talk about this. When a builder builds a house, it's very, very, very unlikely that all those trades are his employees. He's going to be bringing a bunch of subcontractors to do all the different kinds
who
of
should
things.
All be specialists.
Who should all be specialists.
Yeah.
And if they're all specialists, if that house is out of square, by the time that job's over, that builder's had an earful from all those specialists saying, if you put me on another house like this, it's the last time I'm going to do these houses for you. Because those add so much headache for those trades that we all know in this economy are lined up 8 weeks, and they don't have time to spend an extra day on the job.
And potential grief and warranty issues, you know, where you as the brick installer are going to come to me and say, hey, don't call me. If you get any step cracks over in that corner, the northeast corner,
right?
I don't want to hear from you. And here's why.
Right.
Because your foundation guy screwed up. Well, you are going to tell me that.
I'm laughing because it's funny, but you know this as well as I do.
You're not going to say it as well
I'm
as
not,
I do.
Because here's the thing I also go back to.
You're going
to
speak construction, aren't you, when you talk to me?
I don't swear, Chuck. I do my best not to swear. There's always going to be problems on a job. There's always going to be issues on the job. But if you start the job out at the very beginning with an unsquare foundation, you're just asking for a lot
of
problems.
You guys used to lay block.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Did you do block basements?
Oh, yeah.
I thought
did. I actually did. My own basement was block.
Did you ever go in where the footing was already installed and it was out of square?
Oh, yeah.
And footings are wide.
Yes.
Footings are should be really
Chuck,
wide.
I've seen some footings that look like snakes. I've looked at footings and going, oh my goodness, how could they do this? Yes.
You try to snap a straight line on it and square lines on it, and you realize you can't do it because they did such a bad, it's like, how? Here's
they tried to do it bad, it seems like, yeah.
Here's the reason, that is the reason. When I hired Ken, I will have the hole dug. And my excavator better have excavated a square hole with a relatively level bottom. Then I'll ask Ken, as part of his bid, to install the footings and the walls. Because then I avoid that problem, or sure. Ken just screws the whole thing up from bottom.
Sure, sure. Now, but if it's a block, basement, which there are thousands of block basements. I did my house on a block back in 2000.
Hundreds of thousands out there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They're a lot more forgiving. I can lip over a block a couple inches over a foundation and then core fill it with concrete and be confident that that's going to stay fine.
Oh, I don't believe you're ever going to have a structural issue because
right,
of it.
Right, exactly. So it's a little more forgiving there. But like you said, if we start this way from the beginning, that's why, Chuck, homeowners shouldn't do this stuff. They should leave it to the expert. Don't try to – and we've all had homeowners. I'm going to do my own spread footing to try to save some money. What do you do for a living, sir? Oh, I'm an architect. Or I'm an attorney. Okay. Well, you know what I'm going
to
do?
Not to slander either of those professions.
I'm going to hire you as an attorney, but I'm going to do my legal paperwork first, and then you can take it over to save some money. In the article, what did you say? It's like taking lettuce with you to the eatery to save a little money on – You know, I like a sandwich,
salad.
No lettuce. Or yeah, I'll put lettuce on myself.
God bless people.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
If you can't afford to go out to a restaurant and pay full bore, don't go. If you can't afford to build a house, have it built properly, don't build.
You're right. And these foundations that Chuck and I are talking about, if they're not built properly, you'll be making phone calls to foundation companies. And a lot of foundation companies have stayed busy because these builders didn't do it properly. But a lot of them did, and they still have foundation issues. In the state of Michigan, if you have a foundation issue, I don't care where you are in this state, we have a company that can help you come out, inspect your foundation, give you a price, take care of it with a lifetime warranty. And, of course, that company is Foundation Systems of Michigan.
Welcome back to the Inside Outside Guys. This is our last segment for today, but it's not our last segment for the week. We're going to be available to you at InsideOutsideGuys.com.
Inside Outside Guys on Facebook.
Throughout the week, 24/7.
I've been told we got to get a lot more of social media stuff down, like the Instagram and the YouTube and all that stuff. So,
seriously?
Yeah. And
Go ahead and do that.
I was going to say, I'm going to make that your responsibility.
Well, I will at least equal our output as of now.
Yeah. Fair. That's very fair. So before we went to break, we're talking about, expertise, why you want to trust the contractor, why you don't want to. We're talking about our article that was in Detroit News Home Sales section this week, why you don't want to go out and buy a bundle of shingles on a great price, great buy, and then call someone like Victor's Roofing and say, hey, will you come put it on for us, please, and give me that warranty that you talk about all the time.
Here, show of hands. How many of you are either the person that shops for great deals and buys because it was a great deal, or you know somebody, that's what they do all the time, and they acquire stuff that they don't even need or want, but it was a great deal?
Talking about my wife?
Didn't mean to.
You know how many times I've said to her, Ken, it was on sale. But we still don't need it. Yeah, it was on sale, but we still don't need it.
But it was a great deal.
Exactly. Exactly. The bird feeders, we've had that discussion.
I know somebody pretty close to me, so I won't name them. But that is them in a nutshell. And I'll go over to their house, and I'll see stuff that is just totally out of place, in the garage or wherever, and I go, what the heck is that? Well, my wife got a heck of a deal on it, she's confident we can make money on it. Not if you don't sell it.
Yeah, she's confident you can work on it, then make money on it, so we know you're not going to make any money on it.
Oh, good Lord.
Once or twice. So we mentioned an email that we had received from a listener whose daughter was building a house on, I believe, Martha's Vineyards. And in the old days, Chuck, probably when you started in the industry, you wrapped all the houses with tar paper. And I can tell you, I've taken apart so much exterior of homes that were all wrapped with at that point, a rotting tar paper. I mean, because it did. Eventually it came, if you just touched it, it'd fall apart.
You know, it's funny you say that. We did. And I really believe in the product at the time.
At the time. Yeah. It's all there was.
It was the best thing we had, and properly installed, it did what we wanted it to do. The idea was to serve as an active water barrier from the outside, because water will get through your exterior cladding, whatever it is, wood siding, vinyl siding, brick.
And it's no different than people that live on one of the Great Lakes here today. Same kind of atmosphere, especially when it gets windy or it's really hot and humid out. So when the builder of this said, no, I only use tar paper, to me that was unbelievably short-sighted, that he couldn't go, okay, no big deal. But the vapor barriers now, the house wraps now that allow moisture to breathe out and in, my opinion was find another builder. Your opinion was, no, it's okay. Go ahead and use that tar paper. I'm a homeowner. I want it done a certain way. It should be done my way.
I don't agree.
That's okay.
Would you tell Daniel DeBakey how to perform heart surgery on you?
Absolutely not.
No.
But if I know a product is better, I know in my heart. If I've been listening to the Inside Outside guys and they tell me a good house wrap is better, I want that good house wrap.
You described the perfect scenario, because I was working in a time when, I'll say the name because it was all over, Tyvek.
Oh, sure.
Owners were asking for Tyvek. They did a fantastic marketing job to homeowners, right? Yeah. So somebody comes to me and wants their home built with Tyvek. And this was before that product was properly designed and manufactured. I'm trying
basically,
to think
it was just like a tar paper, but fancier at that point.
Well, it was worse than tar paper, because with tar paper, every 24, 28 inches on the sidewall, there was a lap from another row.
Yep.
So moisture leaving the house could breathe out of the house through those laps. The product that people would come to me and say, you got to install this. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Here's a magazine article on it. Here's an editorial on it. Here's blah, 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 manufacturer. And I go, no, I'm not going to do it, because your house will not be able to breathe properly. And years later, I was proven right in that assessment, but I was fighting that exact battle you described where, you know, the owner knows better. No, you don't. You don't understand the physics of what's going on here.
But here's the problem with that. Here's the problem I see with that.
Yeah.
That Tyvek, that's what that was for. In other words, it's like, oh, how do I say this?
That product would stop water, active water, from the outside.
Right.
But they didn't even advertise that. What they advertised was an air infiltration barrier. That was the big thing. Wrap your home in a blanket.
It didn't even talk about breathing from the inside out. That wasn't even part of that situation.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. And they didn't talk about active water at that time. That just wasn't part of the marketing shtick. And, again, fantastic marketing program. And today I would use that product because they've redesigned it.
Right. To be able to breathe in and out.
Yeah, in and out.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So it's a tough call. You've said 1,000 times, if you hire that builder, trust that builder. You know? If you're not going to take his or her advice, then you shouldn't have hired them, because they are your professional.
I agree. However, this wasn't 20 years ago when that product first came out. That was just a couple years ago that the Tyvek now, and we say Tyvek like we say Kleenex.
Yeah.
Tyvek is a brand of house wrap that everyone identifies
probably
with
the
house
leading
wrap.
Brand when it was first introduced.
Right.
It may still be.
Yeah. It's like when people blow their nose with a tissue, they say it's Kleenex, but it may not be the brand Kleenex. Now, what they have today is far better than a tar paper. That's why I would want that on my house rather than a tar, especially in that environment.
And that's why I said I would use it today.
Right, right.
But I believe, and time has shown, that I would still use tar if that's all I could get. I would use tar paper on
your
own home today as I built it. Again, I would install it properly. I'd have all the lap I needed on the outside. If I felt I needed a heavier gauge, a weight, I could go to that, 30 pound instead of 15. 15 was a standard, if you will. So there's, it's still a great product. I'll tell you why they're not using it as much as any reason in the world. They're not using that because it's more labor intensive. It's easier to install a contiguous 9 foot long, wide, whatever you want to call it, roll around of a Tyvek product than it is to install 6 rows of a felt paper.
Well, I do believe, too, that the 9 foot rolls that we have now, I can almost guarantee you, Chuck, there are thousands and thousands of homes that start off with the tar paper at the bottom and work their way up.
Well, they should have. Because you lap it from the top.
I'm sorry, from the top and work their way down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, now you may have seen that as a brickie, and of course that's an improper.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course, yeah. Of course. Yeah, start from the top, go to the bottom, and then because you want to make sure when water drips down that side wall, it doesn't go behind the tar paper, so you overlap it on the bottom. Yeah. I've seen that
stuff. So you always start from the bottom and work up, just like you do with siding or shingles.
Right. I've seen that stuff a ton in my career.
Badly installed?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Isn't that crazy?
I tell you one thing I've seen so much of, Chuck, and I still see it today, is the lack of squaring off a proper footing. Where when we're, and we got a 3/4 of a brick sticking off of a foundation at the end, which is a sin to housing.
Maybe next week we talk about that a little bit. I mean, you did touch on it earlier in the show.
Yeah. Yep, I did. Hey, listen, everybody, don't forget during the week. By the way, thanks for showing up today. Thanks for trusting us. Thanks for listening every weekend. I hope it shows how much Chuck and I enjoy doing this every weekend when we show up here for you in the Inside Outside Guys. During the week, theinsideoutsideguys.com, the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook. Because from the roof to the basement, the street to the back fence, if you need it, the Inside Outside Guys are here for you today and every day.
Danielle, back at the studio, thank you. And you, the listener, thank you. Bye-bye.